house today, and so great to see you. We're glad that you're here, especially on this Lord's Day, and today being Father's Day. Good Father. I like that song and the message in that. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'd please take the Bible and turn to the Old Testament, we're going to go to the book of Deuteronomy. If you want to find that, if you don't know where that's at, count five books in from the Genesis, and you're right there. It's the fifth book in the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Today for our text and our reading that we want to read for the scripture today. I would share with you, you think about Father's Day. I titled the message today, Man's Highest Calling. Man's Highest Calling. And you think about fathers today, you got to think about this, where do you go to school to learn how to be a father? I don't remember getting that in junior high school. I don't remember getting that in high school. I don't remember getting that at college and seminary. But I'll tell you what's interesting. Here just a few weeks ago, my wife and I privileged. We have three children, two boys and a girl, and eight grandchildren. And one of our grandsons, Cole, 6 years old one day. Sometimes out of the mouth of babes come the most interesting words, are they not? He says one day that my daughter and son-in-law were asking, what do you want to be when you grow up? Every child has that dream of what do you want to be when you grow up? And you're kind of expecting this, that, one thing or another to come out of their mouth. And he says, when I grow up, I want to be a daddy. Now, how do you deal with that? Because what went through my mind was my son-in-law. And when my daughter met him, he was not even saved. And my son-in-law grew up in a broken home, broken environment as a child growing up. But he had a strong father figure in his grandfather that left an influence and an impact in his life. So where do you go to school to learn how to be a father? And I thought, what an interesting words out of a six-year-old's mouth. When I grow up, I want to be a father. So I watched that. Sometimes in life, what it is, it's what we learn. So what we learn from, where do you go to school? You go to school watching your father. If your father's not there, maybe you go to school watching your grandfather. Or maybe it's your father-in-law. Or maybe it's your uncles that are in the family. So what do we have to learn from is our life experiences growing up. And I thought, what an honor and a privilege for a young man like that to say. And I watched that. I watched Matt's actions as he goes along. Here's a young man that my wife had the privilege. They led him to Christ. He got baptized and got in church, then married my daughter, and they began to raise their family. And so sometimes it's not what we learn by what we see and observe around us. We also learn that what we see that we don't want to do. So Matt learned a lot of things. This is what I don't want to do, and this is what I want to do. And you go to school, and then you got to come down to it. And I really believe man's highest calling is the day you make a decision in that if you're going to have children and have a son or a daughter on this Father's Day. You think about that, and we think about this text, and so where do you go to school? I think you go to school in our family system, and it's not taught in our school systems. And if you really think about it, the word daddy is not in the Bible. If you really think about it, well, where did that term come from? It really came from, it's an old English term that came back from the 1500s, and so really the term daddy or mommy has been used since about the 1500s. Prior to that, you go back into the Bible and you look at the words father or mother. And so today, we're going to preach a Father's Day message today, but father is in the Bible. And I got to looking at father and mother in the Bible and how many times God uses that reference. And I found that in 979 times and 852 verses in the Bible, the word father is used. And I looked at it, the word, as I said, dad is not in the Bible, mom is not in the Bible, but fathers are in the Bible, and mothers are in the Bible. It's mentioned, the word mother is mentioned 245 times and 226 verses in the Bible. So when you look at that and you begin to think about how important, and God puts a great importance upon fathers and the role of fathers and what we play and what we do from the God's Word and from the perspective. And so I looked at it and I thought, God, what do I preach on this Father's Day? You know, I look at it, and I thank God for my father. My father is in heaven today. He passed away at age 53, and my father had a rough child upbringing, only went through the eighth grade of school, but then basically educated himself and did very well reading and writing and working out in the world and brought himself along. But he saw a lot of things in his life, what not to do, and determined that he was not going to do some of the things like his father did. He was going to make some choices, and my father left home at age 16 in Mansfield, Ohio, lived in a boarding school in a little one room, not even an apartment, just one little room by himself at age 16, left the farm to get away from underneath the umbrella of his father at that time that was going through some major issues. My mother, grandmother had passed away. My grandfather had turned to alcohol and wild women and running around, and he had eight children on the farm back home. So my dad looked at that and really kind of began to butt heads with that and said, you know, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be in that environment. So at age 16, he just up and packed himself out of a farm in Perrysville, Ohio, moved to Mansfield and got a little one-room place, ate at a little restaurant down. And so I look at that, and so where do you go to school? You learn what to do and you learn what not to do from our fathers, our grandfathers, our father-in-laws, our uncles, or whoever is God puts in our families. And yet I got to say today, it is no accident that you and I are where we're at and we're born into the families we're born in. God has a divine sovereign plan and a purpose, but you and I as individuals also have choices that we can make. So look at this text here in Deuteronomy. You got to understand Israel now. And as they went into the land, God gave some instructions to the nation of Israel and very strong on the family unit and simply said here, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. Deuteronomy 6:1, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee. Notice this now, thou and thy son and thy son's son and all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that they may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Verse 4, he says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So when you look at here at God's wording, his instructions to Israel as they went into the land, the responsibility upon the home, on the family, upon the fathers and the mothers, and to teach them the principles of the Word of God, you find here, it's interesting that when you look in the Scripture, God had a plan and a purpose to get the Word of God and to be able to pass that on from one generation to another generation to another generation, and that we hand that on to those that are coming after us. When you think about here in the Bible, so I began to think about, well, on Father's Day, who's the perfect example? Who can I elevate and bring about? And we have some great fathers in our church and our church family. But let me share with you today, I hate to bust your bubble, there's not one of us in this room today are perfect. There's no perfect fathers. In our own eyes, and what we think about our fathers or our grandfathers, we might say, well, they're pretty special, and they are. And each of us would think that perhaps of our own family, and they are. And we shouldn't think any less of them. But to find the perfect father, you and I are never going to find. And yet we find the perfect illustration in the Bible is to look at our Heavenly Father, who then gives to you and I characteristics, if you will, attributes, or characteristics, or things that we can model ourselves after or apply in our lives to be good, godly fathers. So the role model for you and I today is our Heavenly Father. As much as we love our fathers and our grandfathers, yet we will find if you look, and I don't know about you, but I just choose to look at my own father and pull out the good and leave the bad. I choose to look at my grandfather and pull out the good and leave the bad. I choose to look, you and I can look, and so that you take the good. And as a matter of fact, every one of us sitting in this room today, we have the good and the bad. So choose to focus on the good and build on that. But our role model today becomes God. And so A.W. Tozer wrote some characteristics And that talked about our Heavenly Father and what is His attributes and what are His characteristics and what can we take from our Heavenly Father and then apply that to you and I as fathers. So I'm going to give you some of those today that I want you to think about, and you might be able to go through this. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was studying this message and preparing for this, there are some things in here you and I as fathers or grandfathers will never get. Why? Because God is perfect and He is just and He has certain attributes that makes Him God and makes Him holy and makes Him different, and nobody else will ever equal that. But there are some things that you and I can pull from His characteristics and attributes that I think we can learn from. And I think the first example for us as fathers in leading our families is an attribute that God has and He passes on to you and I if we will ask Him for it. And that is the attribute of wisdom. Wisdom. I don't know how old you were when you began to be a father, but many of us sitting in this room today began to be fathers at a very early age. Maybe you're 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. And what do we know at that age of learning about how to be a father? We need God's wisdom. And so wisdom is the ability to devise perfect ends and to achieve these ends by the most perfect means. And so God makes no mistakes. He is the Father who truly knows best. And Paul explained that to you and I in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. He said, "Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge, and how impossible it is for us to understand His decisions and His ways." Men today, fathers, if anything else, I'd put at the top of your list, wisdom. Wisdom to be able to know and to make those tough decisions. You're going to need it all the days of your life. You're going to need it at the time when you bring a new child into the room, and you're going to need it every day to depend on God to give you wisdom and that to be able to make life's choice and life's decision. And God simply says to you and I in James chapter 1 that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and He'll give it to you and I liberally and freely. So wisdom is there for you and I for the asking. All you got to do is ask God for it and ask Him for wisdom. Wisdom to be a good husband. Wisdom to be a good father. Wisdom to know how to make good decisions. Wisdom to know how to apply the right things. And we will have our share of failures. There's no doubt about that. But wisdom, hopefully, to do the right thing in the right circumstance, ask God for wisdom. That's a characteristic, that's an attribute of God that we need on this Father's Day. Second thing is infinitude, or talking about infinite God. We know that our God, our Heavenly Father, is infinite. You and I are finite as fathers, so man is finite. So man, you and I, we got to look at it today and realize that as men, we have some limitations in our lives. We are not infinite. God is infinite. God did not make any of us perfect. So we oftentimes come up short and miss the mark, or maybe don't do the right thing, or don't lead the right way, or don't do something the right way. God knows no boundaries. God always does everything right. Always. And so He is without measure. This attribute is by definition impacts all of the others. And since God is infinite, everything else about Him must also be infinite. And so to realize today in that as the best we can be on our best day, being the fathers that God has called us to be, we're going to find out that we still sometimes come up short. Why is that so? It's because we're finite. And we're not infinite, as our Heavenly God, Father is infinite and knows no boundaries. I think the third characteristic that makes God unique, different, something we can look at today, and that simply is His sovereignty. And that's an attribute by which He rules the entire creation. It is the application of His other attributes of being all-knowing and all-powerful. It makes God absolutely free to do what He knows to be best. And so from God's sovereignty, we learn that in life, sometimes as we go through things, God is sovereign. He has a plan and He has a purpose, and we need to trust Him to know that what He leads us through, even, yes, in the circumstances of our lives, God is still sovereign. And the difficult times of life and the struggles, and we just need to fall on our knees before Him and ask for wisdom and ask for His grace and ask for His kindness and ask for His knowledge, and to realize it makes God absolutely free to do whatever He knows to do best, and to realize that God is in control of everything that happens. And man still has a free will, and we are responsible for our choices in life. You and I are not sovereign. God is sovereign. But in that we find we do have our limitations, but we do find this next attribute that God has. And as we said, He is perfect, and I think we can strive for as fathers and grandfathers, is simply the attribute or the characteristic of holiness. holiness. That's an attribute that sets God apart from all created beings, and it refers to His majesty and His perfect moral purity. If there's ever a time in our homes and our families we need, must have, demand moral purity. And that is, as men, as leaders, as fathers, as grandfathers, is to do our best to live our lives morally pure. By that, making wise choices, being good examples. And, you know, when you talk about being morally pure, I grew up in a generation where it was quite common that that under the sinks in all of our dining rooms or kitchens was a fifth of whiskey and some beer and some liquor. And quite often my uncles and those would drink. And I grew up around a situation where I saw, you know, the lack of moral purity oftentimes in the home and the home environment. So my cousins, children in the family that were being beaten because of alcohol. Saw fathers that were misusing or abusing their fatherly responsibilities with their children. So to be morally pure requires a situation for you and I to live in holiness. And our desire should be to ask God for wisdom to live our lives in such a way with moral purity and with holiness, and realizing there is absolutely no sin or evil thought in God at all. And you and I should live every day to try to strive to be more like Him, to live in holiness and keep our lives pure and holy and right before God as we walk. And I think one of the greatest examples, I mean, what do you do for your children as you go on? I think one of the greatest things that you and I can do to pass on is for our children to see in our lives that we as men love God, walk with God, will remain faithful to the Scripture and church. And are we perfect? No. But we strive for holiness in our Christian lives to lead the way and to set the example. And so His holiness, God's holiness, is the definition of that which is pure and righteous in all the universe. And wherever God has appeared, such as to Moses at the burning bush, that place becomes holy just for God having been there, to walk in holiness. Another characteristic of God we find in the Scripture, it's interesting, is talks about the Trinity. Although you'll not find the word Trinity in the Bible, yet we find God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. It is not used in the Bible, yet the truth of God revealing Himself in those three persons are included. So the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all three are all called God and given to worship and exist externally and are involved in doing things, the only things that God would do. And although God reveals Himself to you and I in those three persons, God is one and cannot be divided. We have one God, one in holiness. And all are involved completely whenever one of the three are active. And so man was created in the image and the likeness of God, created in the image of our Creator God, and with a soul and with a body and with a spirit. And we ought to realize today that we ought to recognize His Trinity and His power and the relationship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and to recognize those three in our lives. Here's another trait that when you think about omniscience, I'll say these today. I believe some of these traits are only for God, but I can tell you this. Growing up, I honestly believed that oftentimes my father was omniscient. He knew things I didn't know, or at least I didn't think he knew, and he knew things that was like, I think, he's got eyes in the back of his head. Did you ever do that? Parents, you know what's going on, even though sometimes your kids don't think you know what's going on. And omniscience, God possesses perfect knowledge and therefore has no need to learn. Think about that. Has no need to learn. And so God has never learned and can never learn, because omniscience means all-knowing. God is all-knowing, knows everything. And so God knows everything, and His knowledge is infinite. It's impossible to hide anything from God. You ever do something and then try to hide it from your father or your mother? And usually, oftentimes, you get caught. It just doesn't work. And so you realize you're wasting your time, but God is omniscient. You can hide nothing from Him. And so most of the time, you can hide nothing either from your earthly father and your earthly mother. Talks about faithfulness in the Bible, another attribute of God, and everything that God has promised will come to pass, and His faithfulness guarantees this fact. He does not lie, and what He has said in the Bible about Himself is true. Boy, do we need in the world today, too, just men that will be faithful, faithful to their wives, faithful to their sons and daughters, faithful to their children, faithful to the Word of God, and just faithfully consistent day in and day out of the principles that God stands for and the characteristics that God stands for. This is extremely important for the followers of Jesus because it is on His faithfulness that our hope of eternal life rests, and He will honor His promises that our sins will be forgiven and that we will live forever with Him. Be faithful day in and day out. Well, here's another one. On this next attribute, I'll share it with you. I will never forget one time my Uncle Doyle, one of my dad's brothers, passed away. Oh, no, it was my grandfather that passed away. My Uncle Doyle, we're at the funeral, and as they make their last, you're sitting there at the graveside burial, and everybody comes by, and they say their goodbyes, and the family's weeping, and it's the last chance before you lay that loved one in the ground. I will never forget, because it made such an impression on me as a young boy growing up, that I'm sitting there, my grandfather's laying in this casket, and my dad's side of the family. My Uncle Doyle's standing there, and as he come down the aisle, he fell on the casket, laid his hands on the casket, started weeping and crying like a baby. He's 39 years old, 3 children, 2 boys and a girl. Place is packed out. He lost it. He just had a major, major meltdown. And the meltdown was, he kept screaming at the top of his lungs, "I never told my dad I loved him." I can see that in my mind like it was yesterday. "I never told my dad I loved him." And he didn't say it like I said it. He said it screaming his lungs, crying his heart out, and I watched his brothers literally had to scoop him up and pick him up and carry him out of that memorial service. So I looked at that. Things like that will leave an impression in your heart and in your mind. So I determined right then, I thought, well, if I ever have children, I'm going to make sure I tell them I love them. Now, I have a son that's 41, going to be 41 at the end of this month. Another son that's 39, and a daughter that's right behind him at, 37 or so, 38, right in there. And so every time I talk to the kids, I always tell them, "Hey, man, I love you. Don't let that slip by. It's an attribute and a characteristic of God to show your love for your family." Look here, it says in this attribute, love is such an important part of God's character. The Apostle John wrote in the Bible, "God is love." This means that God holds the well-being of others in His primary concern. A father does the same thing. To see that love in action, we should study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus sacrificed on the cross, and for our sins, is the ultimate sacrifice and the gift of love. God's love is not a love of emotion. It's a God of action. So I want you to think about that today and love. A God. It's not a love of an emotion. It's an emotion. But sometimes what we do is more important than what we say, and by that meaning that our actions should follow that up if we really love them. And so we find here His love gives freely to the object of that affection, those who choose to follow His Son. You know what I find out too? And it's also teaching your sons or your daughters to be able to turn around and do the same thing with their sons and daughters. "Hey, you know, I love you." And just to let them know. It's an attribute. It's a characteristic of God to pass that on and to have that in our lives. Another attribute of God is omnipotence. Literally means that it is all-powerful. Since God is infinite, since He possesses power, He possesses infinite power. He does allow His creatures to have some power, but that is no way diminishes His own. And so God expends no energy that must be replenished. Think about that. And when the Bible says God rested on the seventh day, it was to set an example for you and I and our need for rest, not because God was tired on the seventh day and He had to sit down and rest. He didn't need to. God never has to recharge. God never has to re-rest. God never has to sleep at night. God never has to do all those things that you and I do. He did that for our example. So omnipotence, all-powerful, and to realize that our God is an all-powerful God. Self-existence is another characteristic. And when Moses asked who he was talking to at the burning bush, God simply said, "I am the one who always is. I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob." God has no beginning, no end. He just exists, nothing else. And all the universe is self-caused. Only God is that. And so it's difficult, the concept of our minds, to comprehend, and that when we encounter something else. And that's what we're studying in evolution on Wednesday nights right now. But in the beginning, God, and He was already there. So self-existence, God has always existed. Another characteristic of God is self-sufficiency. The Bible says that God has life in Himself. And all other life in the universe is a gift from our Heavenly Father. He has no needs. There's no way He can improve. And to God, nothing else is necessary. I find it interesting because you watch, and oftentimes the challenge in life is, especially as you're starting out, if you're a young father or whatever, or a young mother, to be able to improve what you're doing. You watch grandpa or your grandma, and to be able to improve and get better at what you do at a parenting. It's interesting today because my wife oftentimes become the sounding board. I do too, but I don't think as much as she does, as one of our kids will call up as one of the grandkids, and what about this, and what about that, and how do you handle this, and how do you handle that? And so parents become a sounding board. And in that, and so we find here, it's interesting that God does not, He does not need our help with anything, but oftentimes we as parents do need help. And so it's interesting, is it not, that as our children get older, they began to realize mom and dad wasn't so dumb after all. And as they learn, and you learn through life, and you appreciate it. And so that's why I said in Sunday school a little bit earlier, I love watching our children parent their children. And we get to sit back as parents and kind of watch that go on. And that's a joy to be able to do. And so He allows us to be a part of advancing His plan on earth and to be a blessing to others. But we're the ones who change. God never changes. He's always self-sufficient. Boy, here's a good attribute. Here's a good characteristic of God. Another one is justice. That which is just. The Bible says that God is just, but it is His character that defines what being just really is. He does not conform to some outside criteria. Being just brings moral equity to everyone. And when there are evil acts, justice demands there be a penalty. And since God is perfect, has never done evil, no penalty would ever be necessary. However, because of His love, God paid the penalty for our evil deeds by going to the cross Himself. His justice needed to be satisfied, but He took care of it for all who will be. Being just, what does that simply mean? You know, look at it, being fair. God is always just, and God is always fair. You know, it's interesting. Did you ever have a child say to you, well, that's not fair. That you're not, you have favorites, or you play a favorite to this son or this daughter, and that's just not fair. And God always deals in fairness, and God always deals in justice. And so when you look at it, we need to, even as parents, be just in what we do, be fair in what we do, and across the board, make sure we're just. That's an attribute, it's a characteristic of our Heavenly Father. Another one is immutability, and that simply means that God never changes. It is what the Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's a lot of strength from that being, is if we walk with the Lord and seek out His wisdom and seek out these attributes and these characteristics, we should be consistent in our lives, in the parenting, and that. And so when you look at it, immutability simply means that God never changes. Oftentimes we do. Oftentimes we don't deal in that area of justly as parents, but His immutability, God never changes, and but yet we find the challenges for you and I to be consistent in what we do. Here's another one. When you look at it, God's attribute is mercy. Mercy is the attribute which God disposes Him to be actively compassionate. Since God's justice is satisfied in Jesus, He is free to show mercy to all those who has chosen to follow Him. And it'll never end since it is part of God's nature. Mercy is the way He desires to relate to mankind. And He does so unless the person chooses to despise or ignore God, at which time justice then becomes a prominent attribute. Mercy. Thank God for His mercy. And you think about it, there's a good attribute also for you and I to learn from God and apply it to our lives. And apply mercy and grace and in our lives, especially in our families, and to realize that we need to be able to pass that on and apply mercy when mercy needs to be applied and apply grace when grace needs to be applied. Another characteristic of God is He is eternal. In some ways, this fact of God is similar to His self-existence, but God has always been and will forever be. And because God dwells in eternity, time is His creation. And it's why God sees the end from the beginning and why He is never surprised by anything. God is never surprised by anything because He is eternal. And you look at it and you realize if he were not eternal, God's promise of eternal life for those who follow Christ would have little or no value. Here's a characteristic I think we can apply, all of us as fathers, and in the home, and that is goodness. The goodness of God is that which disposes him to be kind, cordial, benevolent, and full of goodwill for men. Just being good. You know, the role models, when you think about the role models, I had one of my grandfather, would be on my mother's side, Grandpa Anderson, would be for me on my father's side. He was a quiet man, never hardly said anything, had 9 children. And we gathered on the farm every Sunday afternoon just because that was the family thing to do. So here you have 9 children, their spouses, and most of those families had 2 to 4 to 6 children. And we all gathered on the farm. My grandfather, for that all that afternoon, probably didn't say 10 words all day long. I could watch him sit in the room and read the sports section of the paper, had a transistor radio. Many of you won't even know what a transistor radio is. Listen to the Cleveland Indians ball game on the radio, and watch a game on TV. Could do 3 things at one time. Sat there, was just quiet, easy going, mild, and meek and good. But he was good for a lot of reasons. Set the example and set the tone for a lot of reasons. I think about it. And in their home, never was any alcohol, never was any cursing, never was any wife beating or child beating. I saw 2 contrasts in our lives growing up. Just set a good tone in their home. And one of the things I loved the most is he had chocolate-covered peanuts in the corner cupboard every Sunday afternoon. He was a good man, and that all the way, but for a lot of reasons. Went to church every Sunday. Took his wife and his family. Now get this, when they went to church, kids, it was interesting to see. They had 1 car, 9 kids. Grandpa and Grandma sat in the front seat. They parked a couple kids between them. Then they put a bench on the floor in the back. They set 2 or 3 there, and they set some more on the back seat. They went 11 of them to church in Mohicanville, Ohio, every Sunday afternoon or every Sunday morning. 11 of them in the vehicle going to church, that old Methodist church. And Helen, my grandmother, was never on time. Ever on time. Ever on time, I say, and no matter where she went. So as church started, about 10 minutes in, here come 11 of them right down the row, and my grandmother insisted on sitting right down here at the front. But goodness in the home, goodness in the characteristics, and gracious here is another attribute of God. God enjoys giving great gifts to those who love him, even when they do not deserve it. Grace is the way we describe that inclination, gracious, being gracious and kind. I remember getting a gift from my grandfather and grandmother every year on my birthday. Every grandchild got a gift. You know what it was? It was a coin, a $1 bill, but it was a coin. $1. We got $1. That was it. That's all he had. He probably didn't make $60 a week. You know, they were dirt poor, but they were poor but rich. And let me explain how that simply happened. They grew up in the Depression years. They didn't have anything, but they had the farm, 160 acres, and they had all their food and everything come off of that farm. Everything. They never went to the grocery store for anything. My mom tells a story. She didn't take her first shower until she was 18 years old. You know what they did in those days? They sponge bathed. How would you like to do that? Line up with 9 brothers and sisters in the kitchen, and you fill the tub, and you rotate the kids through. You want to make sure you're the first one on the front line as you enter the tub, because if you were the 3rd or 4th kid before you empty the tub, you're following somebody else. Never any new clothes. It was always the hand-me-downs. But you know what I saw in that home? More happiness, more goodness, more graciousness, more kindness. And it was just an amazing way to watch a family grow up. God is a gracious God. God is a good God. And those are his attributes. And then God is omnipresent. It means that he simply is always present everywhere. Since God is infinite, His being knows no boundaries. He clearly is everywhere, and that truth is taught all through the Bible and to realize. So some of these attributes, as we look at it, these are attributes of God. Many of these attributes we can take and apply in our parenting roles, and these attributes are the character of God. But when you think about God and His attributes, you can praise Him for who He is and realize today we have a long way to go to measure up to who God is. But may we take the things from His life, from who our God is, and apply them. And the Deuteronomy said here, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up." As fathers and mothers, just like in the baptism this morning when we saw Gabriel being baptized, growing in a home where his father and mother taught him about Christ in your home, the greatest thing we can do is pass on the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and getting them to our sons and daughters so our sons and daughters can hear that message and the next generation, and we pass that on and we teach that from one generation to another generation, the principles of our holy God, the characteristics of our God, and that we as parents in our parenting on this Father's Day try to apply the characteristic or some of these attributes of God in our lives that we can be the best that we can be as we raise our families. Friend, I don't know if you know it today, but and I'm sure you do, the family is under attack, more so now than ever. The home is under attack, and the principles and the values and the things we hold dear is under attack. And we as families got to make sure that we do our very, very best, sometimes as short as that comes up, to do our best and being the best father, the best husband we can be, the best mother, wife that we can that you can be, the best child in the home, and the principles of the family. Satan, the power of Satan is very powerful. He goes to and fro seeking whom he may devour, and he is trying to devour homes and families today and destroy what is out there. The very foundation, the very core of all that we have right now in our world, the family is at the center of that, to strengthen that. So on Father's Day today, may we take seriously and may we as fathers apply these characteristics, these attributes of God, as many as we can to our lives to be the best fathers that we can be. Let's bow together in prayer. Father God, today that's the message and from Deuteronomy, and you've taught us